Please turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. And the theme for this month is ready. And I'm going to be preaching on this one today, ready for his coming. And then if you look in the bulletin next week, Ryan will be preaching. And then the week after that, Peter will be preaching. I appreciate Peter stepping in when Dick and Vicky are gone on vacation and having a chance to celebrate their anniversary, but I really appreciate it that he's going to step in and preach for me in a couple of weeks. And he's kind of like, I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I'm sure he did. A couple months ago, he preached for his dad, and it was the first time he'd ever done that, and he said, I had a pretty good crowd. Most of it was relatives. So I asked him, I said, well, if I'm gone this summer and I knew Ryan was going to have a really busy schedule with camp, would you be willing to preach for me? He said, yes. So Joe and I leave Friday for vacation, and we're going to be gone to Sunday. So Ryan's preaching next week. Peter's preaching a week after. So I really hope and pray that you'll give them your support. I look forward to listening to them on the podcast. Anyway, if you would please turn there to Luke chapter 12, I'll read verses 35 to 48 as we get started, and we're going to talk about ready for his coming, Luke chapter 12. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the servant master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved the beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much has been given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Let's pray together as we explain the scripture. Lord, thank you for the fact that you are amazing. I have learned not to use the word awesome except when describing you, because you are the only one who is. And so we stand amazed in your presence. We stand amazed that you are God. We thank you that you are beyond our understanding, and yet you have given your Son for us to know you. You've given your word for us to understand you a little bit more. And this passage that you've given to us reminds us that Jesus is coming back. But there are some things that we need to be aware of to be ready for that time. And so I pray that you will help us to be ready for his coming. I also pray for every person in this room this morning that by the time we are done, they will have decided whether they are ready to meet you or not. Thank you for this time together. Speak to our hearts as we study, and then as I bring the message, help me to step aside, that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For in his name I pray. Amen. In 1818, a preacher by the name of William Miller began to predict that Jesus would come between March 21st, 1843, and March 21st, 1844. Well, it didn't happen, but he had gathered together a bunch of his followers, and they really looked and longed for that day. when March 22nd came and Jesus had not come, he and several others said, "We miscalculated. The date will be October 22nd, 1844. I think you know that we are still here, so he did not come. You would have thought that people would have learned their lesson, but several years later, a young man named Charles Taze Russell, who was also a preacher, a disciple of one of his Miller's disciples, began to also predict that Christ was going to come. He predicted that Jesus was going to come in 1874. Well, when 1874 came and went and Jesus did not come, he and a few others who agreed with him decided that Jesus did come. He's just invisible. Okay. Well, history has proven that the Millerites, as they were known, became known as the Adventists. The Russellites became known as Jehovah's Witnesses. But history has proven down through the years that they were not alone and have not been alone in predicting the coming of Jesus. Down through the years, people have over and over and over tried to predict the coming of Christ. The truth is, Jesus is coming again. The fact is, it's been a long time. The conclusion, therefore, is that we have all the time in the world. Wrong. Conclusion. My purpose this morning is to show you that we need to be ready for his coming. We need to stop worrying about the signs of the times. We need to stop worrying about all the dates and all that and simply say, when Jesus comes, I will be ready. And that's where I want to focus on this morning, because you see, we have never been called to calculate the time. We've only been called to be ready for the time. I want to repeat that. We've never been called to calculate the time. We've only been called to be ready for that time. So this passage that we read earlier, there are two ideas in there that I believe that Jesus is telling us that we need to do. Number one, here it is, be ready. Monumental. Be ready. But let me kind of spur you on a little bit. There are at least three extremes of people when it comes to the second coming of Christ. The first extreme is to deny he's coming back at all. I have a friend who reads my blog, and he constantly is against all things biblical. He will say that the story of Jonah, the story of Noah, the story of Jesus in the Bible is simply someone wanting to get someone's attention and tell a story. So when you talk about Jesus coming again, his first thing was, first of all, you got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the second of all is you simply got to believe that if you believe that, you're willy-nilly. Those are his words. In other words, he denies that Christ is coming again. The second extreme are those who predict his return. And I've already given you a couple of those folks who have mentioned, but back in 1988, there was a man who wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Church Will Be Raptured in 1988. His next book was 89 Reasons Why the Church Will Be Raptured in 1989. He recently died last year. Once again, making another prediction that Christ would come, the church would be raptured. And he eventually and finally apologized for setting dates and said, "I was wrong to do that." It's always been interesting to me that those who set dates actually know more than Jesus does, because the Bible says that Jesus himself did not know when he was going to return. So if you know a date, you know more than Jesus does. But there we know that there's going to come a day when his father is going to look to him and say, "Now's the time." But even he did not know that day. But then there's the third extreme. Those who are indifferent to his coming. These might be the people who have been born and raised in the church. These are the people whose parents took them to church, who went to church, who maybe read the Bible, but they just don't care. You know what? I think they may be the saddest of all, because they may be the most deceived. Jesus talked about his coming in this passage, and I'd like to take you through that passage if you would go there with me and keep your Bible open. He begins in verse 35 by saying, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." Your translation might say, "Be ready." The old King James actually was pretty close to being more accurate. It said, "Keep your loins girded." Now, we don't use that kind of language these days. Keep your loins girded. What's that mean? Well, we have to go back into Bible days. Because you see, back in Bible days, the men and women both wore long flowing robes. And so when it says to keep your loins girded or be ready, when it came time for them to run, to walk, to move quickly, to work, they had to gather up their robe, tuck it into the belt or the sash that they had, and then they could go. If they had to fight, the soldiers would gather up their robe, tuck it into their belt, and fight. So when it says to be ready, it says to stand up, be dressed for action, and keep your lamps burning. So he's telling us, be ready. Now, this goes back to the Old Testament. If you know any Old Testament history, there was a point in time where there was a thing called the Passover. And if you look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it's up there. "In this manner you shall eat it," and this is the Passover meal, "with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste." You see, there was a point where God instituted this Passover feast. And so he was telling them, "I want you to be ready. Because there will come a point in time when the death angel passes over that Pharaoh is going to say, 'Get out of here, get out of my sight,' and you're going to have to pick things up quickly and move." And so this scripture here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11 applies here. Jesus is saying, stay ready. Be dressed for action. Be ready to gather up your clothing and tuck it in and get ready to go. And then he says, keep your lamps burning. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of five wise virgins and five foolish virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom. And the bridegroom comes, and the five who have no oil left ask the five who do, "Can we have some of your oil?" And they said, "No, we don't have enough. You're going to have to go find your own." And the whole principle of that is not the meanness of the five. The whole principle of that is when Jesus comes, when the bridegroom comes, you better be ready. And that's the principle that we read here. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. But he doesn't stop there. And he says, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and when he knocks. So he tells us to be ready. But then he doesn't stop there. He gives two more illustrations. He gives the illustration of the wedding so that when the master of the house comes, those who are at home are able to open the door up for him. And then the second one is, be ready because there might be a thief out there. The picture is that when Jesus returns, he will come when we do not know it. If you knew tonight that someone was going to come to your house and rob you, would you leave the house? No, you'd stay there and you'd be ready for him. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. When I come, be ready for when I come. Now Peter asks a question. He says, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And what Jesus does is he doesn't answer the question directly, but he tells us not only should we be ready, but we need to be responsible. He begins by saying, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" The word manager there is the word steward. A steward was given ownership or managerial duty over a household. A perfect example of this is in the book of Genesis with the man Joseph. When Potiphar bought him off the auction block, he put Joseph in charge of his whole household. When Potiphar's wife came and tried to put the moves on him, Joseph said, "No, your husband has given me total control over this house, over anyone but you." What he was basically saying is, "I am a steward. He has given me the responsibility to look over and watch over this household." When he says here that who is the faithful and wise manager, he is calling us a steward. We all are stewards. And every one of us is to be ready for our master to return. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get at. As a steward of all that he has given me, my most important thing is to be ready for when he returns. I have been entrusted. You have been entrusted. Please hear this. We have all been entrusted with the most sacred message of all. The message that God loves us. The message that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." That's the most sacred message of all. And it has been entrusted to us to get that message out. We are stewards of that message. It's our responsibility. With privilege comes responsibility. And if I have been privileged with sharing the message of this book, the message of God's love to other people, it is my responsibility to get that message out. Now, there are three things I want to leave you with. What are we supposed to do while we wait? Obviously, I can't say he isn't coming. He may come today. He could come before we walk out of this building. He could come before the end of the day. Who knows when he's going to come? What do we do while we wait? Number one, we occupy. Now, you're going to say, that's a strange thing to say. Yes, it is. But what it means is that we live responsibly. We walk diligently. We plan wisely. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "If anyone will not work, neither let him eat." That would be quite a deal, wouldn't it? But you see, laziness is never, never smiled on in the Bible. You want to get a good laugh? Read the book of Proverbs and what it says about laziness. There's one part where it says a lazy person is a person who puts his face in his food and can't even raise his hand up to it. So occupy, live diligently, plan wisely. Number two, purify. We as followers of Christ are called to live godly, holy lives. And it doesn't matter whether you read the Old Testament or the New Testament. Both Testaments tell us from God, be holy because I am holy. And so God is telling us to live a holy, pure life. And we are to live it for him. And number three, watch. Watch. I want to put it this way. You keep your feet on the ground and your eyes to the sky. And what I mean by that is that I don't want you to be walking around like this all the time. That's kind of dangerous. But you keep your feet on the ground because you have to live every day. You have to walk every day. You have to be around people. So you keep your feet on the ground, but at the same time, you keep the proverbial eye to the sky looking for the day that Jesus is going to come back. Because one of these days, that trumpet will sound. And one of these days, the dead in Christ will rise. And one of these days, that day will come, and there's two words that I want to say to you. Be ready. Don't worry about the signs of the times. Don't worry about whether this is going to happen before this happens, before this happens. All I'm going to say to you is be ready. Sometimes we spend so much time, and I never understood churches that had prophecy conferences. How many times can you say, be ready for when Christ comes? That's the important thing. Let's not worry about all the things that are going on. Let's just simply say, when Jesus comes, I will be ready. Myself, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help others be ready at the same time. Now, I'm not going to guilt you into this. I had pastors when I was growing up, and I even did it myself, tell people, would you want to be doing that when Jesus returns? Guilt's a lousy motivator. I will only say this, be found faithful. Be found faithful. When he returns, will he find you faithful? That's it. Billy Sunday likes to tell a story of a man who was an assistant to D.L. Moody. And Moody had sent this young man down into the worst part of Chicago. And he said, I want you to go down there. I want you to do the ministry. And one of these days, I'm going to come see you. And when things get tough, I'll come see you and I'll visit you. I'll make sure you're okay. And this young man said every day when he went down to do the ministry, he was always looking for Moody to show up. And he said, when things got really tough, I really looked hard. That's the same attitude that we need to have. He has put us on this earth, and we have a job to do. We've been given the privilege with the greatest message in the world. The greatest message in the world. There is no better message than God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But what he asked us to do is when things get tough and when we feel like giving up, be faithful and look to the skies. He may come at a moment's, or he's going to come at a moment's notice, but he may come when we least expect it. That's the whole thing behind the two will be grinding, one will be taken, one will be left. As it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the Son of Man. As we are working, as we are doing our thing, Jesus is going to come back. Jeff has a name for his company. He calls it Maranatha. It's a Greek word that means, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I'm selfish enough to say, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. But the question is, if he came today, would you be ready? And if he chooses to come tomorrow or Saturday or whenever, be ready. Let's pray. And Father, help us to be ready for you. We've already said that nobody knows the day or the hour or the time when you will come. We just know that you will come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. And I pray that every person in this room will be ready. For those of us who follow Christ, help us to realize we have been given the privilege of sharing the greatest message in the world. But what you've asked us to do is to occupy, to be purified, and to watch. But to take this message with the privilege of taking this message to a lost and dying world who so desperately need hope. And for those, if there's anybody in this room who has never come to know Christ, and if Jesus were to come today, they realize they would be without him. They would be lost. Somehow pierce the hardness of their heart. Speak to their soul. And woo them to you. Thank you, Father, that we can be ready, because even though it's been a while, it may be today. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this song. And as we sing this song, would you make it your prayer? And if you have a decision to make, we invite you to come.